have been taking it a paragraph at a time or so, and this group of 12 or 13 men has been investing in this and then sharing with us. I happen to be on the schedule here first tonight, and then we'll be hearing from Matt and then from Gene for the next two paragraphs here as we continue our journey. 1 Peter is about suffering. One of the main themes in the letter is suffering. I think it's quite appropriate, having just heard what our sister just shared about the suffering of the people in Haiti, to think about God's people and how we are to respond to suffering. The passage in front of us is the last section of chapter 4. Peter gives us four practical instructions for how to deal with suffering as Christians. One, to expect it, that's verse 12. Secondly, to explore the opportunities in it, in verses 13 and 14, and that suffering gives us an opportunity to identify with Christ, verse 13. Suffering gives us the opportunity to experience the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, verse 14. Suffering gives us an opportunity to glorify God, according to verse 16. Now, the third thing, expect it, explore the opportunities, is to examine the reasons for suffering, and that's actually now the text that I have as we come together, and that's beginning in verse 15. So notice verse 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So expect suffering, explore the opportunities in suffering, and now this third point, examine the reasons for suffering. So for suffering, Peter says we need to stop and consider why we might be suffering. And he says there's the wrong reason to suffer and the right reason. The wrong reason, verse 15 says, is that it should not be because of, as he states there, that we're a murderer or a thief, or King James says, evildoer or a busybody, someone who meddles in things, someone who sticks his nose in places it doesn't belong, someone who meddles in things that are alien to his or her calling. Because we are followers of Christ, some things have no place in our lives. And he mentions these. So, and I think it's important for us to start here where Peter starts as we think about suffering as believers in our day and age. And that is, if I'm suffering, I need to ask the hard question, why am I really suffering? So suppose I don't show up for work on time and I tell the boss I was late because I was reading my Bible. And he docks me. Do I then have any right to go to the prayer meeting at church the following week and say, hey, I've been persecuted for my faith? And Peter would say, no, you don't have any reason to say that. The reason that you were docked by your boss isn't about your Bible reading. It's about the fact that you didn't do what you said you were going to be doing. You're committed to doing a job there. The problem's not the boss. The problem is me. In this case, I need to get up earlier or make sure that I show up at work on time. Peter says, if you suffer, it should not be for these reasons. However, verse 16, the right reason to suffer is if you suffer as a Christian. Now, what's interesting, I want you to show your hand on this, but how many times do you think the word Christian appears in the Bible? You would think that it's a rather common term, but it's actually not. There are three times. Christian, of course, originates in a book of Acts, and it's a derogatory term. To call somebody a Christian was to call them that because they were followers of Jesus, and of course the world hated Jesus, so it was a derogatory term to call somebody a Christian. But Peter now uses the term and says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. He has firsthand experience in this. Recall, as far as do not be ashamed, he himself had been ashamed of Christ, and it caused him great grief, and he was so broken after the fact when he denied the Lord three times. Here, 30 years later, he's writing to the believers and said, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but rather rejoice that you bear this wonderful name. Expect suffering, explore the opportunities, examine the reasons whether we're suffering because of wrong we've done or because of the privilege of bearing the name of Christ. And then fourthly, and we'll finish with looking at verses 17 to 19, he talks about or encourages us to entrust ourselves to God and to good when we're suffering. Verse 17, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then," and here's the command, "those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Commit yourself. So when we suffer, and we've examined, am I suffering for the fact that I've been just doing wrong, or I truly am suffering for Christ? If that's the case, then I am to entrust myself to my God and continue to do what is good. This is actually a difficult passage to understand. When Peter says, it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? Judgment is something the Bible talks a lot about. And here, it's not a general type of judgment. Psalm 94:2 says, God is the judge of all the earth. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. The Bible speaks of more than one event associated with judgment. The Bible says that there's the judgment of angels, Matthew 25:41, the judgment of Satan, Revelation 20, the judgment of Israel, Malachi 4:1. And then, of course, the coming judgment of people and judgment of believers in 2 Corinthians 5, judgment of non-believers in Revelation 20. But here, Peter puts it this way. It is time. So this isn't a future. It is time for judgment to begin with the house of God or the family of God. You know, what does this have to do with us? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, you might be asking, Romans 8:1 says. Why does Peter say that judgment must begin with the house of God? Or maybe a related question would be, in what sense has the time come for judgment to begin, and why does it begin with us in the house of God? Well, Peter's not speaking in hypothetical terms here. He's stating a fact. He's saying that judgment of God has begun and has begun with us, the house of God. What kind of judgment is it? I'm not totally sure, but let me just jog your thinking to some other passages that might shed light on this. One, this judgment involves the discipline of God's children. Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. I'm sure Peter did. He was involved in that situation there in Acts chapter 5. The two Christians lied to the church leaders and to God, and they fell dead at Peter's feet. He saw this happen firsthand. God disciplines his own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the teaching on communion, Paul there is instructing us, each one should judge himself, for he says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And he talks about how some had gotten sick as believers and some had even died. I can't help but wonder if one of the reasons churches are full of frustrated, anxiety-filled Christians isn't because of this, that we're not taking to heart this matter that God's reputation is on the line with those who follow His Son, who call themselves Christian. And God is interested in His children growing up to look like His Son. And if they're not cooperating with that growth, He will do things to get their attention, and ultimately He'll take them out of this world early, at least from our perspective early, in order to protect His family name. Secondly, this judgment seems to refer to the refinement of His people. God allows His people to suffer persecution. Why? Not to punish them. All our sins were laid on Christ. The suffering does, however, afford us the opportunity to be refined, to become more like Him. It purifies us. This was Peter's instruction back in chapter 1 when he says in verse 6, "You greatly rejoice in this, though for now a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." So we know this. We know that God has chosen to begin this suffering and is using it, this time of judgment with the people of God. And then he says, does Peter in verse 18, if it's quoting the book of Proverbs, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will be the outcome of the ungodly and the sinner? So suffering is a part of this life, and suffering for the believer is an evidence that God is he's judging and he's using judgment for his purposes, in our case, to refine us or perhaps to capture our attention. And then he asks the question, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? So what should we do? He concludes verse 19 by saying, so then those who suffer should entrust themselves or commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is our calling. This is our privilege as those who belong to the living God. He is our faithful Creator, and we entrust ourselves to His care. So what are you facing in your life right now? As believers, we will suffer. All of us will suffer. We must make sure that it's not because of things we're doing that are displeasing to God. If we're seeking to please Him and we're struggling, then we commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do what is good. Father, thank You so much for this portion of Your Word. It's a sobering topic, the topic of suffering and the topic of Your judgment. We're thankful that Your Son has taken away ultimate condemnation. And thank You that You have a purpose as You allow us to go through tough times. Some in this room are right in the middle of difficult times. Please encourage them and help us all to entrust ourselves to You, our faithful Creator. In Christ's name, amen.